Mr. Amrine?
Here.
Silka?
Here.
Mr. Clapper?
Here.
Mr. De Leon?
Here.
Mr. Hook?
Here.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Here.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Here.
Mr. Sidoti?
Here.
Mr. Turner?
Here.
Okay, now we need a motion to second session.
Second.
Second.
Ms. Silka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Thought I'd just come up just.
No, we'll do executive session again.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. That roll call's good for public hearing then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 4301.82(i)(1), the City of Kent, Ohio is holding this public hearing to announce and to accept comments regarding the City of Kent's consideration to continue the designated outdoor refreshment area, also known as DORA, and approving the continued operation of said DORA. This is a requirement that needs to be done every 5 years for any community that has one established.
Yes, now you need a motion. Now you need the motion to go into, yes.
Move an executive session to discuss boards and conditions.
Second.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook? Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Silka?
Yes.
Should be invited to
executive session. That was kind of funny.
Eric, Dom, and Patty for such a great day of tours of the beautiful new City Hall. So many great people came. I was here for just like an hour and a half, and there must have been at least close to 100 people, I think, that came through. More than that, well, at least during that early time. Really well done. So welcoming. Thank you so much for that hard work. And a special shout out to Hope and Kathy for all of your really hard work around the charter committee, all the long hours that you put in, all the extra effort. So very grateful for everything that you did under a very tight timeline. In addition to, of course, our committee, some of our committee who's here. Again, thank you very much for serving. And with that, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Thomas Mann. I live on North Chestnut Street here in town, and I come before you tonight not only as a longtime resident of Kent, but also as a member of the recent Kent City Charter Review Commission, a body that you appointed and tasked with reviewing our charters, our city's charter, and bringing it forward with ideas to make our local government more responsive, inclusive, transparent, and representative of our community. After many weeks of thoughtful deliberation, spirited discussion, community input, and careful research, our commission brought forward a number of proposed charter amendments that council chose not to advance to the ballot for the people to vote on. I was especially disappointed that the council voted against establishing nonpartisan elections here in the city. On this matter, I believe, as do the vast majority of my fellow charter commissioners, that council should put the question of nonpartisan elections on the ballot and let Kent voters decide the issue. I am deeply disappointed by council's decision to block that proposal because, as you well know, according to the Portage County Board of Elections, 79% of Kent voters are unaffiliated. 79%. That is not a small margin. This is an overwhelming majority of your constituents who have actively chosen not to affiliate with a political party. And yet council believes that those unaffiliated voters should not have the ability to vote on whether their elections should be free of partisan labels. To make matters worse, Kent now stands alone. We are the only city in Portage County that still holds partisan municipal elections. That sends the message that in the city of Kent, party labels matter more than the people behind them, that ideology matters more than ideas, and that maintaining control matters more than fostering inclusion. Every other city in Portage County has made the move to nonpartisan ballots because they recognize that at the local level, effective governance is not about party lines. It's about economic development, potholes, zoning, safety, schools, and services. You appointed us, the Charter Review Commission, to study and propose what we believe would strengthen our democracy. And we did our job. We brought you modest, reasonable reforms, including the proposal on nonpartisan elections, which simply asks the question, should local elections be about partisan political party lines and the establishment, or about inclusive access to the ballot in service to the community. And choosing to silence that question by not letting the voters decide for themselves, you reinforce exactly the kind of partisan animosity that we see today at the state and federal level, and creates further disillusionment that drives people away from participation in our republic and in public life. I urge you to reconsider the proposal on nonpartisan elections. This city belongs to all of us, not just the small minority with a D or an R next to their name. Thanks very much. I brought two copies, Mayor.
Frank Berger.
Evening, council members. My name is Craig Berger. I live on Wolcott Avenue, and I have the honor of serving on this year's Charter Review Commission. I'm here tonight to talk about the nonpartisan elections amendment, and more specifically, last week's decision not to move it forward for a public vote. Now, before I get too far, I'd like to clear up a little point of confusion from last week's meeting. There was a suggestion that I may have misinterpreted the law about who can run in partisan elections. I promise I didn't just skim the fine print. Under Ohio Revised Code 124.57 and Administrative Code 123.1-46-02, classified civil service employees are prohibited from running in partisan elections, even as independents. To make sure I wasn't just lost in legalese, I called the Portage County Board of Elections, and the director confirmed and indicated it is up to the candidate to make sure they're legally allowed to run and serve, which means that under our current system, many public employees right here in Kent and at the university are automatically sidelined from local leadership unless we move to nonpartisan elections. That's not theoretical, that's real exclusion. A big picture, this amendment wasn't asking council to adopt nonpartisan elections. It was asking you to let the voters of Kent decide. And when a body that stands to benefit from the current system declines to put a structural reform on the ballot, well, the optics are, let's say, less than ideal. And hey, if you're confident in your position, why not let the people vote? We hear a lot about keeping Kent inclusive, forward-thinking, civically engaged, but we also know that in the last primary, only about 5% of unaffiliated voters participated. Why? Because they were effectively shut out. That's not a high functioning democracy, it is a locked front door. And if there's talk of kicking this to the March partisan primary, I would gently suggest that voters will see through that. That's not compromise, it is choreography. It ensures that a reform designed to open up the system gets decided in the most closed setting possible. I'll close with a quote from the 2024 Democratic Party platform, since we've heard a lot lately about party identity. Right to vote and to have your vote counted is the threshold of American democracy and liberty. Without it, nothing is possible. With it, anything is. Let's hope it's possible for all Kent residents to have their say. Thank you.
Jason Gartland.
My name is Jason Gartland. I live on East Crane Avenue. And along with other Charter Review Commission members, I come to you tonight as a resident and commissioner. This commission was handpicked by council to bring forward ideas to make our local government more responsive, inclusive, transparent, and representative of our community. Representative is the key word for me in this description. Of all the proposals considered by Charter Review Commission, the three proposals with the most support from citizens of Kent were not moved forward by City Council. They are adding a job responsibility for the safety director to provide neutral and accessible system of complaints and reporting, adding a job responsibility for the city manager to create and update a city economic development plan, and implementation of nonpartisan elections in City Council. In addition to the 15-member commission, stakeholders that engaged just through me in this process and represented include a multitude of Kent residents, faculty at Kent State, numerous Kent businesses, including the Perfumes, Keller Williams, Evolve Auto, Paper and Leaf, Rolling Scones Bakery, Board and Bevy, and others. The ACLU of Ohio is another group, the Kent Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Portage County NAACP. Deciding not to move forward with these proposals now, the council is choosing to delay progress on these issues, which undermine the efforts of the Charter Review Commission and these stakeholders. I urge you to reconsider your decision and move these issues forward to the voters.
Kathy, do you need my copy?
No, I haven't. Thank you.
Springer? Barb Springer, 978 Garden View Street in lovely Kent, Ohio. I'm a member of this year's Charter Review Commission, and I would note, Mr. DeLone, that I believe you were elected in 1998, and you probably were grandfathered in. That's okay, you can have exceptions to everything. but the law was passed in 2013. Somewhere, a previous law director I know made a point about it. Anyway, the commission spent more time on Tuesday evenings, I would venture to say, than anybody in this previous council or in this council, or maybe even the manager of the city. As it's a constitution, you were asked us to look at it. It was a really newish reading to our 75% of the commission. I'd say a good 10 of them, what's a charter? Because, you know, they were appointed because they were interested in city government. And that's what we wanted on this, was people from a diverse background interested in city government. But without exception, they went at it. And I think those two will tell you, they were out researching and asking the larger community for this and that, and can you help us with this? Or what do you think about that? So we sort of paired off and went in different directions. And what we found was a well thought out charter with segments that laid out executive processes, defined jobs at sometimes into the minute detail for some officials, but not for others. And overall, it showed a bit of language that was good in the 60s and the 70s, but sucks right now. Just doesn't hold up in 2025. Just rings hollow compared to other cities around us. What concerns nearly each of us is what happens to the proposed charter amendments that we as citizens supported to go to the voters. But you have chosen to not support those, and that is the way the system works. Just yet, haven't considered them. But what concerns nearly each of us is that those proposals, according to Hope, can still be considered for up to a year. Some may be better when turned over just a little bit more, tweaked on the public safety one, tweaked on another one, tweaked on, you know, Dave isn't going to be with us. All those service directors and people over there, they're not going to be with us forever. Look at those job descriptions. They're not clear and they're not modern. So those proposals, some may end up as policy, likely. The proposals that we made might end up as policy, we grant that. And others, you may change your minds and how it's worded and then ask voters. But the key here is it's 1 year. Tonight though, I'd like you to entertain a motion to establish a council charter review subcommittee, I don't know what you call them. But here's the point. If we had been able to start earlier, we would have updated some language that we found more historical than constitutional, job descriptions that belong in HR, not in the charter. And most importantly, we'd ask you to take added time to figure out how to implement the ones that you're turning back at this point. The public safety one, review every detail of the city manager's job, to include economic development, which I went through today word by word. Economic development and community development are not mentioned in that. Maybe lump all his other jobs under that. Because when you come to a city as a business or a person considering moving here, you look for that. I looked at the charter, but then I'm like, Jack, I'm a government nerd. So, but it's the community development, it's the safety officers, it's the service director. Everybody knows their importance. But I think it's good to say, this is what we believe in for this particular, this is what their scope is. Don't tell me that the service director in your charter has to go check sprinklers and make sure that all the fire plugs in the city work. It's just irrelevant.
That belongs in HR, and you guys can change it every week if you want. Or it belongs in some sort of civil service thing. The time for a bigger review of the charter, the Kent Charter, is now. We hope you'll consider some of the points in an assigned committee put on a six-month turnaround. Because if you wait until the week before, we had, what, 2.5 months to do all this. It can't be done, and it can't be done without hearings, or at least among yourselves, include yourselves in some real gut-wrenching talks. Thank you for listening. The task of moving this document into modern days is an opening that doesn't come all that often. This is in the next year. You'll be able to do that if you so choose. So I'm asking you on behalf of the commission to consider a six-month turnaround, or at least get it done by a year. 6 months is going to put you right up to the deadline for the next election. Thank you for the privilege of letting us serve. And I don't think I could say that everybody would do it again, but it was interesting. Thanks.
Great.
I live on 1169 Morris Road. I don't know if that's the right thing to say or what, but I'm just coming to the meetings to see what's things about. Sat on the party board for 10 plus years and just curious, so start coming in. It's right podium or what? That's all I got to say.
Watch the city.
All right.
Hey, Brian. That's all. On June 27, 2025, the June minutes and July agenda for the Standing Rock Cemetery Board were received and posted online. On July 3, 2025, the June minutes and July agenda for the Board of Health were received. That's it.
I can move items 1 through 13 of the City Manager.
Second.
Approval of June regular council meeting minutes. Approval of July council meeting minutes. Approval of July special meeting minutes. Draft 2025-56, an ordinance authorizing the Kent Fire Department to apply for a staffing for adequate fire and emergency response SAFER grant through the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, and to accept any grant if awarded with corresponding appropriations of funds, which provides funding for 3 firefighter paramedic positions and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-57, a resolution conducting a 5-year review of the designated outdoor refreshment area and approving continued operation in specified public areas of downtown Kent and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-58, an ordinance authorizing the City of Kent to submit a funding application totaling $1 million and to execute the subsequent agreement with the Ohio Public Works Commission and to accept the grant if awarded with corresponding appropriation of funds and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-59, an ordinance authorizing the city manager or his designee to approve a new special event application from Access Point Community Services, known as Grill for Good, be held on Saturday, September 13th, and the temporary closure of North Water Street beginning at East Main Street and extending north to Alley 3 and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-60, an ordinance authorizing the city manager or his designee to approve a new special event application for Main Street Kent, known as the Longest Table, to be held on Sunday, August 3rd, and the temporary closure of West Main Street between River Street and North Water Street and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-61, an ordinance amending the outdoor seating program guidelines to align with the city's current noise ordinance regulations and to remove the prohibition of alcohol being served at outside tables and declaring an emergency. Draft 2025-64, an ordinance authorizing the finance director upon the issuance of a certificate of availability of funds to pay certain purchase orders made that exceed $3,000 and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes. Move adoption.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Consent agenda passes.
Yeah, I'd like to move to appoint Christopher Sieper to the Board of Building and Appeals.
Second.
Aye.
And we need a motion to authorize Christopher's name as the legislator.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Jeff. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those same sign. Report redraft number 2025-062 with the name.
Draft 2025-62, a resolution appointing Christopher Sieper to the Board of Building Appeals and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Please call the roll on suspension.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Move action.
Second.
Second by Jeff. Is there any discussion on adopting this ordinance? Please call the roll for adoption.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Okay, second on there, the name for the Fair Housing Board.
I'd like to move to appoint Kara Evans to the Fair Housing Board.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those same sign. Now I need a motion to authorize the insert into legislation.
So moved.
Second.
Second, big one. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those same sign. Okay, thank you. Report redraft number 2025-063 with the name inserted.
Draft 2025-063, a resolution appointing Kara Wolfram Evans to the Fair Housing Board and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Second, please call the roll for suspension.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Move adoption.
Second.
Any discussion on adopting this? Seeing none, please call the roll for adoption.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner? Draft 2025-63 passes. Draft 2025-65, an ordinance providing an amendment to the Charter of the City of Kent, Ohio to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend the preamble and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook? Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Move adoption.
Second.
Second by Mike. Any discussion on adopting this ordinance? Please call the roll for adoption.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. De Leon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yeah.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Ms. Selka?
Yes.
Draft 2025-65 passes.
Okay, thank you. Report redraft number 2025-066, title.
Draft 2025-66, an ordinance providing an amendment to the charter of the city of Kent, Ohio, to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend Article 5, Section 5.01, titled Council and Mayor, and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Second by Gwen.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes. Move adoption.
Second.
Second by Roger. Is there any discussion on adopting this ordinance? Please call the roll, Doc.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Draft 2025-66 passes.
Okay, thank you. First reading draft for 2025-067, entitled only.
Draft 2025-67, an ordinance providing an amendment to the charter of the city of Kent, Ohio, to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend Article 5, Section 503, titled Removal, and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Second by Jeff.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes. Move adoption.
Second.
Second by Mike. Is there any discussion on adopting this ordinance? Please call the roll for adoption.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Draft 2025-67 passes.
Okay, thank you. First reading draft 2025-068, entitled only.
Draft 2025-68, an ordinance providing an amendment to the charter of the city of Kent, Ohio, to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend Article 5, Section 5.15, titled Recall Petition and Election, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Second by Mike. Please call the roll for suspension.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Second.
Second by Roger. Is there any discussion on adopting this ordinance? Seeing none, please call the roll for adoption.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yeah.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Draft 2025-68 passes. Draft 2025-69, an ordinance providing an amendment to the charter of the city of Kent, Ohio, to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend Article 6, Section 6.03, titled City Manager, and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Adoption.
Second.
Second by Roger. Is there any discussion on adopting this? Please call the roll for adoption.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Selko?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes. Move adoption.
Second.
Yeah, that was the adoption.
It wasn't.
Right.
Roger missed last week.
I wanted to adopt it twice.
Draft 2025-69 passes. Draft 2025-70, an ordinance providing an amendment to the charter of the city of Kent, Ohio, to be submitted at the general election on November 4th, 2025, which will amend Article 8, Section 807, titled Charter Review, and declaring an emergency.
Move suspension.
Second.
Ms. Silka?
Yes.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Move adoption.
Second.
Any discussion on adoption ordinance? Please call roll for adoption.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer Bish?
Yes.
Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yeah.
Mr. Amrin?
Yes.
Ms. Silka?
Yes.
Draft 2025-70 passes.
All the ground here. Tonight's community development, there's no business. Health and safety committee, no business. Nothing under land use committee and nothing under street sidewalk to utility. Now we're unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business?
Yeah, I would like to move to create a subcommittee to discuss and possibly tweak the items not approved by the city charter.
Second to that?
Second.
Second, like, yes.
Yeah.
Jeff, for.
Nothing further.
Anybody else have discussion? I do.
Well, it sort of seems a little bit like we have moved two items forward for further discussion. One had to do with, I believe, the complaint process, which we said we wanted to, you know, really give it a full hearing. The other one had to do with the city manager's job description and the request for an economic development plan, and that we didn't say no. We said, let's discuss this further. I'm very concerned about just prolonging this process when we are putting forward that we're going to have a charter review commission every 5 years for the voters to vote on that. I think the process has been extremely thorough, and some of what we have discussed, even though it was a really late, long discussion, really did not appear to have legs to go forward at this time. So I'm not really sure which items we're going to be discussing further, besides the ones that we already said that we plan to give more consideration to. So that's my concern. And so at this point, I think I'm going to, I like the idea of going over the job descriptions. I mean, this, what we've been given has been very rich and gives us lots of ideas for what we can talk about as a council, and what we can ask for our staff to look at and come back to us with, or you know, job descriptions, things like that. It's I don't have a lot of experience in this, but I do remember the previous 10 years ago when we had a charter review commission and we did not advance everything forward. Because I don't remember the specifics, but we thought that in many cases we could take the information we got and use it for our own deliberations and to inform our policy making. So I don't think I'm going to vote to keep this going.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I think something that was brought up was the time frame the charter review had to work in, and obviously there were adjustments that we just forwarded to the ballot to adjust that time frame to give them very structured window so they have more time to work on it. So I don't see in any way where there's an ill effect to us giving more time to at least discuss this process. And if it's a little bit of a band-aid and a little bit of an ongoing discussion until that 5-year window hits instead of a 10-year window, I don't think there's any negative impact from that.
Pretty good. All in favor? No, Gwen?
I guess I would like to ask what this the subcommittee would just discuss, what we've already discussed additionally.
When we voted and turned down some things, we said that we needed to flesh that it out a little more, that we need a little more explanation. I think this would be the ideal role for that to occur.
Isn't that what sending something to committee for discussion is? And then the public is welcome. Why do we need a separate subcommittee to send something to committee for further discussion?
Well, I'm not sure how it fits in. I think it fits better in a special subcommittee than it would fit into different committees. That's just my opinion. I mean, if you think it would work better just putting into committees, then we'd have to figure out what committees would be dealing with each of these areas.
Yeah, I guess I would have to say that I do think that it would make more sense if council wanted to discuss those items further, that we would do it as a committee of a whole and not elect us and not have a separate subcommittee for it. I think the committee as a whole, it invites the entire public to participate, as well as council and anyone from Charter Review could also participate. It would actually be more open for conversation than if there was a subcommittee, in my mind.
I'm certainly willing to change it to a committee of the whole because, it makes sense. So
I thought we already did, though. Mm-hmm. I thought the motion that...
Is that the motion I made?
No, I thought that in the discussion at the last council meeting that the items could be brought back up as committee of a whole.
Well, I mean, I just want to discuss these issues. I don't know what difference it makes of where it goes, but okay.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say that Glenn just said the committee of the whole seems like that would be the place because we usually don't have little subcommittees. We have committee of the whole, which doesn't leave anybody out and everybody gets to the discussion.
Okay, I will amend my motion to move these items to the committee of the whole.
I'll second that. Yeah. Exactly. No, he did. Like, first time.
That's all right with me.
Yeah. Can we clarify which items we're sending for the motion?
Ones that didn't pass.
All of them.
Yes.
Okay. Two, right?
Three, I think. Right. Okay. Two.
The three that didn't pass.
The two that didn't pass. Two.
Two more held. Further discussion.
Right.
One of them was voted down, and that was the nonpartisan. You guys haven't voted to resuscitate that. You're just talking about what you agreed last week to continue talking about. And that's the safety director.
Police evaluation.
And economic development.
Right. Well, I didn't. I think the bar brought a list of just smaller items too that weren't even brought to council. Just little tweaks that could be made that they didn't really focus on in this process that could be a change going forward. So if we meet as committee of the whole, should the first thing be to do to identify what we need to look at?
Aye. It's a comment to Lockhart. The draft we've passed tonight, we started to go all our requirements to get them.
Yeah.
That has to be what date?
August 6th. Get my running shoes on.
Get more to do with it. Council member comments.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I felt very disconnected last Wednesday when you had the special meeting to consider all the recommendations. A part of that was caused by, and I hope, the every 5 years in structuring our charter review so that it begins in October or September will allow for a calendar. Because a year ago, I had scheduled that week off for a family vacation. I make no apologies. I hate missing city council. My life has, for the last 14 years, is scheduling amongst our calendar so we know. I felt kind of bad about it, but I know I watch people walk out of here because I watched all 4+ hours. And I know some of my fellow council people, I'm sitting there watching it. I know you said, thank God Roger wasn't here or we'd be here till midnight. I just kind of know how you guys think when I have something to say. So I'm going to take a moment, if you allow me to say what I'd like to say. First of all, I was very impressed with the presentations by our Charter Review, and I really thank them. But I'd like to read a statement, and I'd like, and it's the teacher in me, I can't help myself, okay? The Charter Review Committee came up with a recommendation to review and make a structural change to the Charter to make elections nonpartisan. That wasn't a change in policy or ordinance or procedures. It was a true structural change. And isn't that what a Charter Review Committee should be looking at? Looking at how do we look at our charter and make a structural change that we think is in the best interest. The data indicates, and I'm thank you clarifying 79%, because I want you to think about something. There's an aisle right down the middle there, okay? And I want you to think about all these chairs being filled. And then I want you to look at 79%. I was going to say 75, which was right about where Brian's sitting. But 79 is a little more this way. Those people are not affiliated, okay? These people, this narrow stretch is affiliated. Of those affiliations, predominantly are affiliated with the Democratic Party. And by the way, I'm a lifelong Democrat, so please don't think this is some pro-partisan thing or anti-thing. It's a rational way of thinking about things. We are, by the nature of our charter, I know you're not going to want to hear this, we are a default body. We are defaulted. We become elected by this narrow strip. Not by, and those 75, they say, well, why bother come to a primary election? I always was embarrassed being elected by 700 people, and I got a lot of votes. 700 people. Come on. In a city of 27 to 31,000 people, I'd like to know how many people are actually registered voters, but the reality is 79% are non-affiliate. Think about that. In effect, a Democrat will win the primary in May with a small percentage of registered party voters, and then they face a Republican candidate with an even smaller percentage of registered party voters because we insist on partisan elections. And most probably, if you win in May, why do we waste money putting you on the ballot in November? Because you're going to get elected. So that's the first issue that drives me crazy. By forcing candidates to declare a party affiliation, you are actually supporting a structure in our charter that, in fact, and I know you're not going to like this, is de facto voter suppression. Voter suppression. And you guys know, for the 14 years I've been here, if you've sat with me and we had maybe an adult beverage, I have said we should have nonpartisan elections. Because, in fact, we do have voter suppression. And in not giving the voters the opportunity to decide how they want their elections run, you are going beyond suppression and into an area of voter disenfranchisement. Voter disenfranchisement. And in fact, we support election manipulation, and it's legal because it's in our charter. It allows us to manipulate the election. Now, the reason I feel so strongly about this is that, man, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I believe in democracy. And I also believe in the rule of law. We're stuck with a charter that, in fact, allows that many people to elect people who are making major decisions for all those people. I just find there's something wrong with that. So I heard a lot of arguments why you didn't want to support this. I'll start with the first one. How would you know what a candidate's like or what party? You wouldn't know. That we need to have a D or an R next to their name. It's pretty simple. I don't have my phone. Any person who comes to me and says, hey, I'd like to run for an election, all I have to do is press a button on my phone and go to voter registration. It's that simple. Everyone, Tom, I looked you up. I looked up John Cuddley at Aurora, who is a councilman, who's nonpartisan up there. I went in, I looked, I'm just sitting there just looking everyone up. They're there. The information is there. Okay? That's what's troublesome to me, that we can have that. Voter records, it's all there. And the one that really drives me crazy is fear. I found it difficult to grasp that any Democrat, and I'll speak a little politically here, who believes that the current extreme members of the Republican Party, and especially the current president representing that party, has divided our country through fear, would use fear as an excuse for nonpartisan elections. I was flabbergasted. I was up yelling at the TV. I'm going, can you believe they thought I was Jack Amrine in the paper? Did you catch that? I mean, we're like twins, right, Jack? Yeah, I was shocked to see that on Friday. But my point is this. My point is this. We cannot be the party. We cannot be a group of people, even with no designation, that divides people. We cannot be that. And at the same time, attack the other party for being the party of division, the party of, you know, what the other? I mean, fill in the blank. What's the other? Is the other a Democrat, a Black, a Jew? You know, is the other a transgender? Is the other a homosexual? Is the other anything like that? We cannot be critical if we believe that's what that party's doing. And then we turn around, and what we do is that we use fear as, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if we open up these elections and nonpartisan? What if? I'm sorry. I have too much respect for all of the people sitting at this table. That's not what we're all about in the city of Kent. We're about strength. We're about openness. We're about candidness. And I guess I'm being about as candid as I can possibly be, because I care deeply about all of you. If I didn't care about you, and I'll be gone in 6 months, but I'm not going to be gone. But my point is that if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be so direct. I suppose, you really fear losing power. And I know this is counterintuitive, but in giving power to others, it makes you more powerful. In giving power to the voters of the city of Kent makes you more powerful. Now, if the city of Kent voters turn down nonpartisan election, I'm okay with that. I prefer if they wouldn't, but I'm okay with that, because that's what we should be doing. That's what's so powerful about this council up to this point. We have trusted people in this community. And yet, I just cannot believe that someone would say fear. So I'm just going to say that, because I believe in the rule of law and there's no way I can force and dictate a reconsideration, if someone sitting at the table who voted no would like to make a motion for reconsideration, you'll have my second. That's all I have to say. To put it on the ballot, by the way. I didn't make a motion. I'm not allowed to, Mr. Mayor.
All right, any more comments?
Sends a message.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank Melanie and the service department. I know we talked recently about adding a dedicated road crew, and they were out. I went to work at 4 o'clock this morning. They were working here in the corner, and they're really doing a good job and finally fixing up some of these holes so that we can get them all done before winter and really juice whatever kind of budget we're going to give that road crew going forward for next year.
Yeah, I'd really like to thank Melissa for bringing up the tours, and thank the staff that was involved with the tours. And I stayed most of the day and just to talk to people, you know, engage them in questions like, do you know what form of government we have? And I thought that they found it very informative.
We talked about how good we are with our finances and how we win awards. And, you know, it was, these were things that people were really enjoying hearing and having that opportunity to ask about. I think it was such a valuable experience that I would love to open that up to another round at some point, not too far into the future. And I would encourage other council people to participate because it's a great way to get to know our constituents and really talk about one of our successes, which was to build this building, which is the People's House. So I just want to encourage us to think about other opportunities we might have going forward, because there were a lot of, there were, I guess, well over 100 people, but, you know, people kept coming and coming, but we were done. Time was out. So that's what I have to say. It was pretty exhilarating to talk to people and get that sense of their pride in what we have here.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate Dennis and the Kent Area Chamber of Commerce for an outstanding Heritage Festival. I thought that was great. The fireworks were a big hit, as usual. It was nice to see the community out. The tours were lovely. And I'd also like to remind people that our Wizardly World is happening this weekend. So that is organized by our Main Street Kent organization. So our chamber and our Main Street Kent organization, there's been a lot of talk about economic development. Those are two organizations that the city invests in to help boost the economic prosperity of our small and mid-sized businesses, particularly in the downtown area. So that's one way that as a council and as a government, we support our small businesses. It's an excellent opportunity for small businesses to get involved and be part of a business community. I know that I'm a member of both, and I enjoy it very much. And I hope everybody enjoyed Heritage Fest and they get an opportunity to go out and check out the wizards and whatnot and what have you this weekend. So
I just want to remind everybody too of the Longest Table coming up. Thanks to Chris and Main Street Kent and the City of Kent for bringing this really interesting opportunity. Please sign up. You can find it all on social media. Talk to Dom if you're not sure what to do. Think about becoming a captain of your table. I think it's a really great opportunity for us to showcase how we can come together as a community in kind of a new and unique way.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to the nonpartisan issue. I think the speeches I just heard by Roger and then the folks were incredible and incredibly persuasive. But I'm incredibly sympathetic. I do want to contend with a few things. The first is I fail to see how our current system limits the ability of independent candidates to build a movement, to build supporters from the minute that they decide to run all the way up until the general election. Perhaps at a national level, we have issues where the Democratic and Republican Party fund the candidates so much that the incentive is to file, to affiliate. Locally, I didn't receive a dime from the Portage County Democratic Party, from the state party, from the national, certainly not the national party. It was entirely self-funded by my neighbors, by my family, my mom, who I still owe some of that money to. The point is that I think both, maybe you see a threat in the dominance of the two-party system. I see a threat in the inactivity of independent candidates to mobilize around issues that apparently 80% of voters in Kent care about. If there is truly 80% of voters in Kent who are incredibly excited, motivated, engaged, be part of the system, let them nominate a candidate. Let them rally around candidates. Let them come to the general election. Yes, they cannot vote in the primary, but let them come to the general, incredibly excited to unseat those of us who choose to affiliate with a party. Roger, I agree. I'm torn on this issue when it comes to being motivated by fear. I don't like to be motivated by fear. And the headlines I read make me feel afraid. The scholars, the leading fascist scholars who are saying we are in an unprecedented threat to democracy since the Civil War. The daily headlines we read in the Portager about threats just in our county. It feels like dangerous times, and yes, I am feeling a bit motivated by fear of overcorrection. I think sometimes we are motivated by fear, and that's what leads us to want to boost our police force. That's what leads us to want to protect the things that feel good over experimenting with things that might feel a bit too risky in this moment. I struggle with the idea of being called out by being motivated by fear, because I don't want to be. I don't like the dominance of the two-party system. I have thought myself of forsaking that identity and taking the risk to run as an independent the next time. I wish local candidates, I wish I felt that voters were incentivized to do a lot of that research. In my experience, it has not been the case. It has been the case that voters are showing up and they're voting by default based on the name of the name they saw on the lawn sign the most, or the flashiest social media campaign. And I tried to run a flashy social media campaign. So the incentive is there. Again, I would really, really strongly urge independent candidates to come out and face me, face all of us. I don't like the idea that I would only be tested by someone in the opposite party who has such divergent views of me that I will just cakewalk into the next election. But in the last election, I faced one opponent. Nobody was showing up to the League of Women Voters roundtables. Nobody was commenting on my Facebook page. Maybe you'll say that's because independent voters are so suppressed that they see the D next to me. Okay. Coordinated head nods like that. I guess I don't buy that, because locally, I don't think that I'm defined by my D. I mean, no one in the Democratic Party is telling me how to vote on anything. I mean, I sort of wish I had direction from somebody.
I just gave you some.
The point is, this feels like, a solution looking for a problem. I don't fundamentally believe that this should be advanced. I learned in Jack's class, there's two models of governance. One is trustee and one is delegate. I take your view that as delegates, we should just simply move this to the ballot because this is what you voted on as nominees. I take that view. There's also another model, which is called trustee, which is that I was trusted to make unpopular decisions. In this case, this is not really bad. I've not had to make an unpopular decision. We make them as a whole, of course, but I still feel strongly that this is one that I'm unsupportive of. But I thank you for your time.
Yeah, I really
Mr. Turner.
Thank you, sir. I just kind of being redundant, I guess, and following in Chris's wake. I don't know that this process discourages people who don't want to affiliate. Creating nonpartisan elections does, I believe, create an impediment for those of us who do value affiliating with the political party for whatever reason, tradition, value systems, so on and so forth. I think probably a lot of the stuff is percolated to the top based on what's going on nationally. But I've always chosen to affiliate with a political party, and the Democratic Party being a progressive person, having values, not, they don't all dovetail. So people have to do education. What you're asking for is for a more engaged, involved electorate. That means you've got to work harder to get people who are independents to participate, because 79% of the populace has determined that it doesn't want to affiliate. Doesn't mean that I shouldn't have the right to affiliate at 29% of the people who wish to do that. Does that discourage people who are independents or people who don't want to affiliate with the two-party system? They can do that at any time. You're not being discouraged in doing that. As Chris was saying, our hope is that there could be something that could generate that type of enthusiasm and overall populace to want to do that. I don't buy into this is all about fear. People have been doing nonpartisan elections for a long time. I think the issue of working to divide is not a, I think, something I would desire to want to be the impetus either. I think that what we should be doing is using the system to inspire people to participate. My hope is that I am inspired to participate. I believe in the Democratic Party. Additionally, and as I've grown older, I affiliate with that because I believe that's a positive force for change. I do not feel discouraging people at the most localized level in participation is something that is an attribute to a system. I think that the challenge is educating the people in our community that it's important to participate, whether or not it's D or R or independent or natural law or green or whatever it is. Affiliate with something that drives you to the polls. This is your community. Now, we built all this stuff in Kent. We hired a good person, came in, melded together as a body. We built that. You're absolutely right. That wasn't D or R. That was a community thing. But D and R didn't hurt us on that. That didn't discourage us from doing the positive things we needed to do in the city. DNR is not the begin and end all of things. It's not the negative aspect of things that draw us down either. That's about us as a community. At the end of the day, you discouraging me from participating in a political party is not really going to change things. That's the kind of engineering that I think is not going to give you the positive outcomes I think you might be seeking. I know it sounds good, but the reality is going to be different. There are always going to be politics, if it's personal, if it's political, or if it's otherwise. There are going to be differences in people. What we're saying is I think it'd probably be better to put those differences in political parties than personalizing them. Because ultimately, there are always going to be distinctions made. But you were saying, I take you at exactly what you said. I believe that you're trying to do what you feel is in the best interest of this community. I don't doubt that in the least. But I feel that My participation in a political process and a political party is not going to fundamentally, materially change things. Matter of fact, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a driver for a lot, or at least maybe the 30% who do want to affiliate with political parties. I think we should be allowed that. I don't think this should ever go to the public. I think it's inappropriate. I think if I choose to affiliate with a political party, that's my personal view, my personal right to do that. And for you to determine that you think you can engineer a system that brings in more people and more participation, that ought to be something else that drives them to the poll. It's the benefit of the community and their values, ultimately, that ought to be the drivers, not the aspect of promoting divisions and thinking that fear, because I'll be honest with you, I am very fearful right now. That's not the driver for me. My driver is what I aspire to accomplish through working with like-minded people to uplift this community. Ultimately, I believe that's what we have to focus on, beyond partisan politics. Partisan politics has a place, not overwhelming. It has a place. People should be allowed to affiliate with a political party. I'm sorry, I'm so long-winded, but political affiliation is a right, should be as well.
Sure. We bashed this out. I mean, everybody had their say. All right, mayor's report on the same thing. I kind of agree with you people. I'm the only independent sitting here. The last three mayors were independent. When I opted to run for office, I wanted to be there. There's that sigma out there for all the people. And that's why I ran as an independent. So when you get the petitions to go to the door to door, I'll take one. I think Roger will take the other one.
I'll walk door to door with you.
Yeah.
Council doesn't change.
I'm not afraid to get votes being an independent. All right, little joke here, I guess. I got to thank Melissa and Roger early this morning. I got some texts, and they were getting texts to send gift cards to somebody. It might benefit that if you get that, disregard it. But if you want to get a gift card, take it down to Kent Social Service. tour that we had on Heritage Day, there were a number of people came through here, and I got to point out, they came to the mayor's office, and Patty said, well, here's your mayor, he works Saturdays. Well, not necessarily. I was there for you. Anyhow, in my office, hanging on the wall, I've been working on this for 4 years. I wanted an honor roll of all the mayors of the city of Kent. Nobody ever did that, and I don't know why. And I ran short of time, and I gotta thank Kathy and Jack to finally put the icing on the cake. And in my office, there's a plaque hanging on the wall with the 47 mayors of the city of Kent that ever were. So if you're ever up that floor, it's kind of neat to look at it. Stop and look at it. I'm inviting you to. With that, that's all I have. We have an executive session.
I'd like to move an executive session to discuss the city manager's evaluation.
Who seconded it?
Second.
Oh, wait. Seconded. Roll call.
Mr. Clapper?
Yes.
Mr. DeLeon?
Yes.
Mr. Hook?
Yes.
Ms. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer-Bish? Mr. Sidoti?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Amrine?
Yes.
Public session, probably nothing will happen. Just saying. Thanks for coming.
Okay, Megan?
Yeah, I'm just running stuff.
You're not gonna be in tomorrow?
What is that?
You're not gonna be in tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Have a good week.
You too.
That's all I need.